We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Well, you will not have a handout tonight, and there'll be no PowerPoint, so some of you will be in hives in just a moment. I know you'll be wondering what's going on, but we are going to turn for a few brief moments to the Word of God. Amen? And so go with me, if you would, please, to the book of there as well in just a few moments. You can also find 1 Corinthians, because we're going to be there as well in just a few moments. After the worship set and the music, I feel that there's not much to add. And of course, we're going to go into a time of reflection and meditation in just a moment. But there is a passage that the Lord had laid on my heart earlier in the week. And it was a passage that really would not leave me alone. And I've learned over the years that when God begins to impress a passage on my heart like that, that it's important that I share it. And I was nearly disobedient. Wouldn't that have been terrible, right? And so in 2 Corinthians, did I tell you the chapter? You're still looking, aren't you? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is rapidly becoming one of my favorite verses. You have to excuse me, I think I'm losing my voice this evening as well. So if I suddenly stop talking, I'm just going to hand it over to Micah. He doesn't know that, but he does now. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I just really want to share some things tonight. I'm not going to preach a message per se. I really want to get our focus ready as we get ready to come to the table, and just want to share from my heart with you. I really sense that the music set the tone for where we needed to be this evening. And before we get into the message, aren't you grateful for all those who have a hand in the music here at Faith? And aren't they a blessing to you? They really are. And they mean so much to me and so much to the church when we are focusing in, and the music really communicated a great message this evening. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says here that the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then what were all of us, friends? We were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live, tell me, unto themselves, but unto who? Him which died for them and rose the flesh. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. And so Paul then transfers into this wonderful thought that so many of us love, and we claim this passage, and it's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says, therefore, would you read it with me? Are you ready? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all of God's people said, amen. But I want to continue reading, because the passage gets richer as we go. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us, what has he given us, friends? The what? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, he says, we are what? What are we? We're ambassadors for Christ. Don't miss that. You're not an ambassador for your own agenda. You're an ambassador for who? For Christ. As though God did beseech us by you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And then the song that we opened with, Jesus Messiah, comes from this very text. Notice, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. As I look at the text, beginning in verse 14 down through verse 21, there's about five things that I see that I think are important for us to contemplate tonight as we get ready to go into this time of communion. First of all, I think we all understand that when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 17, we understand that we are a new creature in Christ if we're a believer. Amen? We have been recreated, and God is still working on us. How many of you know that God's got a lot of work to still do in you? Say amen to that, all right? And God is still working. Things are passed away. Thing about this text, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The phrase there reminds us that old things are continuing to leave our life and new things are continuing to come into its place. We are in a constant state of being made what? New. Can I just lovingly say this, that in a church, when we as a body of believers realize this and when we understand that God is working on all of us, do you know what that creates within each and every one of us? It creates the word that I was talking about this morning, and that word is called grace. Because as God is working on you, isn't it interesting how you can look back over your own life and see where you used to be, and then you see somebody else do something and you're thinking to yourself, I need to correct them on that, and you think, wait a minute. I remember when I was like that. Can I get a witness? Okay. And here's what you begin to think as a family here at Faith. You begin to think, you know what? I just need to have some grace with them. Just need to have some patience with them. You know what? God's doing the same work in them that God was doing in me. Amen, church? So we're a new creature. We're being recreated. We're being made new. And that doesn't excuse sin. You don't look at someone that's sinning and go, oh, they'll get over that. Probably not. All right. You want to encourage them. But because we're being made new, what we understand, if you look at the text then, is that we have a whole new ministry. You know, one of the things in a church is that many times people will say things like, well, this isn't my ministry and that's not my ministry. And can I just lovingly say that maybe sometimes that's accurate? How many of you know you have no business singing in the choir? That's not your ministry. Some of you should probably put your hands up right now. I've stood next to you, right? I understand this. But there's some of you that it probably is your ministry and you should be in the choir. Please say amen to that. I've stood next to some of you and thought, why aren't you in the choir, all right? How many of you know that working in the nursery is not your ministry? How many of you know that working with teenagers is not your ministry? But if you look in the text, God has given all of us people, and it is the ministry of reconciling, bringing people to Jesus. We are new creatures. We are a new man or a new woman. We have this new ministry. Our job is to reach people and to teach people and to do something right after that. Guess what? Repeat the process again and again and again. And that word is called discipleship. And Paul was reminding the church here in Corinth, don't forget your ministry. Yes, it's important to be in a ministry in the church, whether it's with children or music or sound or ushering, whatever it is, those ministries are all important. But our key ministry, our central focus is reaching and impacting people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and then discipling them in the word and repeating the process again and again and again. This is our ministry. And we understand when we look in the text as well, not are we just a new man and a new ministry, but you'll notice in the text we have a new motive. In verse 15 it says that we're not to be living for ourselves anymore. There's a concept that we should embrace, that the day we got saved, the old us died as well. And we're not living for ourselves anymore. You know, I've often shared this with the church, but I think it's so true. There are things that I will do for Angela because she is my wife and I love her. But if you were to ask me to do some things that she had asked me to do, as much as I love you, I'd probably tell you no. I'd probably look at you and say, no, I don't think so. But if she asks me, I'll do them. Why? Because I love her and I want to please her. Look in the text. In verse 14, it says, the love of Christ, what? Constraineth us. You see, I don't do what I do and you shouldn't do what you do just because it's duty. Just because it's obligation, you should do it because there's a deep love in your heart from Jesus Christ that says, I have a whole new motive for why I do what I do. Because Jesus passionately lavished his love upon me. And because of that, I am constrained, I am compelled to no longer live for me, but to live under responsibility now. My motive in life now. Amen, church? This is my motive. I have new responsibility now. We not only see this, but we see that there's a new mandate. We're to relay God's message. We're to be preachers and teachers and sharers of the gospel. But then if you look at the text, he says, as he talks about this new mandate, he says, we also have this mission in verse 20. It says, now then, he interjects this whole new thought here. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors. And most of us in here understand that an ambassador speaks on behalf of another. So if our ambassador to whatever country it is, if he gets up to speak, it's just as if the president is speaking. He represents our country. And isn't it a little bit frightening to you, as it is to me, to think that when people look at us and they see us, that they are to be seeing a representative of who? Jesus Christ. In fact, we are representatives of another world, heaven, God's kingdom. And when we open our mouth and when we speak and the things that we do and the things that we say, we are therefore what? Ambassadors. And Paul said, you need to remember this, church. You need to remember that you and I are representatives of God. And may I just ask us tonight before we come to the table, how's that looking for you these days? What kind of an ambassador are you? Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ's sake. Now, the whole text sort of ends on this note of verse 21 when he says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, look at the text again with some freshness, will you? Think about the fact that you've been given a new name. You're an ambassador, right? Also, after you got saved, you were given the name Saint. I don't know if you represent Saint very well, but you should work on it, all right? You're also an ambassador. You've been recreated. You're being made new. You have a new ministry, a new mandate, a new motive. How did we get so blessed? How are all these blessings ours? How is it that we, vile as we are, how is it that we get the right to represent King Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because of verse 21, because he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's how it happened. And so tonight, when we come to the table, what we are doing is this. We are remembering several things. Number one, we are remembering how you got here. You know, I don't know about you, but I think God's table is pretty big, don't you? You know, in Bible times, meaningful conversations always happened around a table. The idea being communicated was that of fellowship, of closeness, of oneness. The day and age in which we live, unfortunately, we have a lot of these things and a lot of these things. And we send emails and texts and phone calls. But I don't know about you guys. I can only speak for myself. But I think many of you will fall into this category. Some of the sweetest and best and most precious times that I ever had in my life occurred around a table. I loved sitting at dinner when I was growing up and talking to my folks and my brother, most of the time my brother. And, of course, my own family, spending time with my boys, and of course, fellowshipping with many of you and sitting around the table. And you know, what's precious is tonight, as we all come to the table, it's not about how smart we are, our pedigree, how brilliant we are, the position we have in the church, whether we're a pastor or not. The reality is this, friends, we all got to the table the same way because of God's grace. We all get here the same way. We all arrived at the table of communion the same way because of the blood of Jesus. And somebody has said this, and I love this phrase, it's all level at the foot of the cross. Amen? It's all level. Self, remember, you got here tonight. Don't be so prideful and full of yourself. Remember, you have no business being here, but because of the grace of God, you get to come to the table. And then I would remind us tonight, to reflect on your relationship with Jesus. One of the awkward things about the text we're going to look at in just a few minutes that surrounds the whole New Testament concept of communion, the way in which we do it today, is the fact that the church at Corinth was it was so full of tension. There was so much division and heresy and strife and fighting and all of this just, there's a Greek word, okay? It's in there, all right? Just look it up. And there was so much of that. And Paul comes to the church, and years ago I preached a message called For Better or Worse, and he says to them, he says, I'm coming to you because I'm letting you know that when you come together, it's not for the better. He says, it's for the worse. And there's nothing worse than sitting at a table, and maybe you've had this happen. Have you ever been out to dinner, or you're sitting at a table, and there's just tension at the table? It's like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. How many of you know what I'm saying right now? Okay. And what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth is, you know, it's not about who's sitting at the table and all of the maybe personality conflicts or preferences or opinions that are different. Paul is saying, you don't have a horizontal issue as much as you have a vertical issue. He says, the reason there's divisions and heresies and schisms and all of these things, and the reason you can't get over yourself and over a person's preference and over a person's personality, is because you have forgotten that your personality is to be taking on that of Jesus Christ. And when that begins to happen and the vertical begins to get right, guess what happens to all of those horizontal relationships? I'm not going to tell you they get perfect, but here's what they get. They get better. They get better. And so Paul said, when you come to the table, look at your relationship. The two relationships. Number one, this vertical relationship. And number two, make sure that when you come tonight, that any horizontal relationship isn't strained or full of tension, that there's no schism, division, no issue that's there that would stop you from getting to the table and saying, yeah, well, I don't really want to take communion because you know so-and-so's here and you know how they are. Paul said, no. Jesus paid way too high a price for us to have that attitude. Amen, church? Which would lead me to say this tonight. You may just need to repent this evening. You may just need to repent. You see, you don't hear a lot of preachers preaching repent these days, do you? You hear a lot of good sermons, but words like repent, turn, change, those aren't words we like to embrace because it means that we actually have to do something. It means we have to do what Paul says to the church as we get ready in just a moment to have communion. We have to examine our own heart. And you know what I know about me? And I'm going to probably say this is true about you, but I know it's true about me. That sometimes I let myself off the hook a little too easy. You guys look really pious right now. I'm not sure. Anybody else, you ever let yourself off the hook a little too easy? Okay? And so the idea as we come tonight is let's not lose sight of that last verse we just read. Let's remember and let's refocus. Let's recalibrate. Let's just say, Lord, if there's an area in my life before I come to the table and before I commemorate what you've done for me, Lord, I ask you, as David said, examine my own heart. Shine the spotlight of your holiness into my life. And Lord, if there's some things in me that need to change, then Lord, I want to do that. And before I come to the table, I want to come right. When I was growing up, and I'm sure it happened to you, before you came to the table, your mom probably always told you to do one thing. And what was it? Wash your hands. That's what the word examine means. Make sure you're right. You know, the whole reason you examine is so that you can partake. That's the whole purpose, so that you might partake. We're going to see that in just a minute. And then lastly, not just remember, not just reflect, and not just repent, but I would just encourage you tonight, rejoice in what God has done for you, friends. You know, so many times I feel like, and I might step on your toes and you might get irritated with me, and it's okay if you do. We're having communion, you got a chance to get right, all right? Sometimes in church I feel like there should be such a moment of rejoicing, amen? And there should be just an outpouring of our heart. And folks, when we come to communion tonight, as much as there's remembering and reflecting and repenting, there ought to be a moment in our heart that says, Lord, I am rejoicing, tears of joy, a heart that beats strong that says, Lord, I rejoice that I am your child, I am your son, and I am your daughter.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.